comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time. Yeah!
Rock bottom. We're at rock bottom.
SOS. SOS listener.
We're having a bit of an identity crisis about the future of the show.
We know that you're confused, and your confusion pales in the face of the confusion that we're experiencing at the moment.
Lucas sent me some materials to put in the show notes as like a little description, and it was just so far from what I imagined the show was that I figured we had to bring it here and just discuss kind of like what our pitch is, what the show is, perhaps a little bit of who we even are, mm-hmm. or why we may be qualified to talk about this.
Or at least quantified to talk about this.
So I don't have any analytics set up on my website, which is, let's face it, probably a bad look, but I don't really care. You know, I don't, there's certain things I want to know about my websites, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's a hassle, and it either costs money or you have to build something. But I think we have like 1,000 downloads on all of our episodes combined.
That's quite a few.
We have Spotify analytics, so Spotify is tracking you, right? And when we released the first episode, 4 people followed our podcast. And since that episode, over the last 8 episodes, all of them have unsubscribed from our podcast. We're back down to 0. Wow. Rock bottom.
Yeah, off to a tough start.
It's good. This is good.
I mean, but how
you
many
can't
of those
hit
are
rock
like...
top if you don't go rock bottom.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I mean, if you don't bounce off the, you know, if the basketball didn't bounce off the court, we wouldn't have a game.
Oh, that's so good, Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that what my description is that I sent you, and we should get into that.
Yeah, here, yeah, do you want to pull it up?
Is, and I don't even remember, let me pull it up on my end too here. But, you know, I think what I'm trying to pull us towards is, you know, you have birthed this idea, right? I think that we could think of you as the show's father, right? And I'm thinking of myself kind of as the show's mother. The show needs to be nurtured, and it needs to be brought into society, right? We need to find a way to convince people that this is something that's worth their time. You know what I mean?
I think you're underestimating people's deeply antisocial tendencies.
I definitely do err on the side of hopefulness on that question, which is probably the wrong position. So, I warrant
that.
Okay,
so let's... Here we go. Here's a crack at some basic text for the show notes. Thank you, Lucas. This is Are You Into Bus Stuff? A podcast trying to cross the road at the intersection of queerness and institutional violence. We discuss maps, historical data, traffic violence statistics, and gooning, just to name a few. Oh, it's a typo at the end there, but you get the point. I was thinking more like, it's just guys being dudes.
Yeah, but that means something drastically different, and I think something that, like, we're opposed to in the current political climate, right?
My other pitch was, it's the world's first comedy podcast about roadway deaths.
That is so much better.
At least that one's a unique angle.
Right. Right, and that's what I'm sort of trying to capture is, like, you know, we're definitely, at this point, a banter podcast that focuses in on transportation content from, you know, time to time, I would say probably, you know, maybe 40 to 60% of the time that we're jabbering. You know, it does need to be about something. And like, it is at the intersection of queerness and institutional violence. Like, that is what we've talked about. I know it's in the format of, you know, us shooting the shit and the beautiful charisma and kismet that lives between you and I. It's always been there. But in order for people to understand that, we have to explain it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the bus stuff was always just a crude joke about sex, right? And even though we're both queer people, we both have, like, wives.
Well, you're a queer person. I'm not a queer person. Don't call me that.
No, so it's like, I don't know, man. We both have wives. We're very, like, we don't present much queerness.
Well, I think that this is, I mean, this is a great place to go because this is something that, you know, I live with a lot because, you know, queerness is a big part of my identity. And certainly I'm a mask-presenting person. You know, I'm a he-him for sure. And I take a lot of pride in being that he-him. I talk a little bit about that, you know, on the podcast. But just because I, you know, I'm not dressing as a lady all the time, I usually do a few times a year. But just because I'm presenting myself, in my cis, you know, circles, especially like in work, which is, you know, something I'm forced to do, like, it doesn't make me any less queer, and it doesn't make me any more interested in engaging in toxic masculinity.
This is good. That's good. I appreciate that take.
Which is at the intersection of institutional violence, particularly as it relates to car culture and truck culture.
Car culture is a culture of violence, right? And the dominant, like, culture of violence in our society is patriarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I getcha. But I mean, I don't know if I want to listen to that podcast.
Well, I don't think that it changes fundamentally the, like, beat that we're on. I think we've already been making that podcast. And, you know,
it's true. I mean, we're really just talking about maps.
Yeah,
and cities.
Exactly. And your voice is very different than my voice, and that's how it should be. And I think what we've been discussing and kind of circling around is how do we put some structure to this format so that we can bring forth the most listenable parts of our discourse.
That's a very, very good way to put it.
So, yeah, I think that we're on the right track.
Rock bottom.
We took the 15 to rock bottom.
The 101 to Bottomville. Okay, so I guess I have a lot of bus content this week. That's the thing, is like I have transportation stuff to talk about, but we did say we were going to come here and hash out a little bit of structure. I think we could just set something as an experiment and then we can try something new next week if we want.
Well, I mean, I think we just spent, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 minutes doing a sort of introduction, and I think that's fair. And now it's bus content with Ben.
Well, I mean, I made a bunch of maps. We were gone. I went to Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a real city. I walked around. I made... Go to... Here, Lucas, pull up. roadway.report/population.
Ooh.
So I finally made a population scaled map of roadway fatality rates. So the map is in 3D and the population density of a place is the height of that spot on the map is like how many people live there. And then the color is the fatality rate per capita. So it's just an interesting way to look at different neighborhoods and see, like, how many people are living under high levels of traffic violence in their immediate area. And Lucas, if you pull up, it's the same link. It's roadway.report/population_non-motorist. No, so this one is just non-motorist deaths, pedestrians, bikes. And so you'll see in rural areas where there's like no pedestrians at all, some will have a zero fatality rate. Like it's green in some rural areas because there are no pedestrian deaths in that census tract. But if you go to like an urban area, you'll start to see the effects of urban segregation pretty clearly. St. Louis, Detroit, Kansas City, all good places to start with either of those maps.
All good places to start in more senses than one.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are starting in a slow town.
San Luis?
This is like another big step for Roadway Report, because this is kind of the way we want to start to frame the problem as like a public health issue, which is heavily racialized.
Yeah, and divided along economic boundaries.
Right, right.
The same as the rest of the key statistics for health.
It's a comedy podcast!
Hey!
Hey! So that's one thing I was up to. Okay, now this is going to fuck you up. Or do you want to talk about the map for a little while? I mean, you look like you're actually looking at it.
No, I'm looking at it. I want to talk about it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it continues to be true that I usually always look at my home city, Denver, and then usually I'll look at St. Louis and Chicago because they're two cities that I know fairly well. And, you know, then I'll look at New York to kind of compare it to Chicago as, you know, the big city. And it is, like, it's striking that in the older cities that have been more segregated for way longer, the data is clearer to the eye. The trends are clearer. And I'm just, you know, sort of grappling with the fact that, you know, every time I look at one of these maps in Denver, except the, you know, base, you know, the even distribution of roadway fatalities in Denver is fairly striking to me. Like, it happens across the entire network of roads.
Yeah, dead ass.
Like, dying on the road in Denver is a little bit more indiscriminate, which is just kind of interesting to me. But, you know, especially looking at these cities that I've lived in, you know, St. Louis in particular.
The part of Denver north west of the railroad tracks is terrifying. There's a very high incidence of roadway fatalities.
Let me go to the non-motorist.
Well, here, I'm looking at the regular one right now.
Because the reason for that is it contains the largest sections of I-25 and I-70. So it's grouping together all of those deaths that happened at that intersection of major freeways on the freeways. Oh,
it's because I toggled the density off. You can make it 2D or 3D. But the helpful thing about the 3D is like, oh, well, it shows you like, yeah, most of the high density areas are like safer by comparison, but there's some, you know.
Yeah.
There's some high density areas with pretty high incidence of fatalities.
Indeed. Yeah, and it's true that, I mean, you can see in Denver proper the divide. I mean, the east side of Denver is where, you know, all of the A and B, not all of them, but the majority of the A and B rated neighborhoods from the redlining maps in the 1940s, they were all out on the east side of town that are sort of mid-density blocks on this map, but, you know, bright green. And the places that were redlined, by and large, correspond exactly with the red blocks on this map.
Dealing with the legacy of segregation.
And they are, on the West Side of Town, they are attempting to resolve some of that. They have expanded the bike network pretty significantly. But part of the history of that too is the southwest quadrant of the city in particular was sort of developed last. It got the streetcar last, and the streetcar disappeared from there first. So it's always been a place that's been more difficult to live if you were commuting to the major hubs of employment in Denver historically, which have been along the river and along the railroad. So it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to see. And, you know, listener, I definitely encourage you to, you know, look at your city and see what the heck's going on.
Yeah, and it's not super cut and dry everywhere. Like, there's just so many variables. Some two census tracts next to each other can have really different population densities. The roadway network is going to look completely different if one major road happens to pass through one tract but not the other. Like, it still negatively affects people in both tracts, that sort of thing. So this isn't a perfect resource, but it does bear some very important patterns regarding the history of urban development in America.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've brought this point up too. It's important to distinguish between a roadway death that is happening within a given census tract and the census tract from which that person hails, right? Because, you know, you might get hit by a car or die on the freeway at the intersection of I-70 and I-25 in Denver, but the reason that you had to drive through that extremely dangerous section of road is because you were priced out of the comfortable urban center, moved to the suburbs, and now have to drive 20, 30 miles to work every day. There's a lot more at work than just where the deaths are happening. Like you said, it has to do with the whole composition of the road network, really the whole composition of the city. But this is another great, I think, you know, resource in one's arsenal if they were trying to understand what's going on in their city and make steps to make it safer.
All right, King. Do you want to see the fucking sickest shit I've ever done?
Nah.
Not like in a sicko way. Not sicko mode, Travis Scott.
I've seen you create some sick shit, bro.
That's so true. That's so fucking true. Lucas has been there for my one-man show, my first concept album, my second concept album.
I think I'm culpable.
Culpable is an excellent way to put it. Okay, I need you to go to roadway.report/reddit. And this is going to rock your fucking world, brother.
When are we going to get roadway.report/goonarmy?
We can launch it. I can send that before the end of this podcast.
Okay. Just slash Reddit?
Yeah, slash Reddit.
Okay, I see a table.
Okay. Scroll down. Just like try to figure out what this table is. I have to admit some of the filtering's not excellent.
But you're querying Reddit for basically any post related to roadway safety or potential roadway hazards.
Yeah, like crashes, basically. Yeah. Anytime anyone posts the word crash in like the LA subreddit or the Dallas subreddit, it comes to this page.
And the first hit right now, listener, is pretty revelatory, I think, of some of the problem here. Has anyone been on the river trail in the last 24 hours and know how the snow is clearing so far? I'm thinking about going on a ride, but I want to know if there's going to be several inches of snow. I can deal with ice, but if there's 3+ inches of snow, it'll be hard to get traction. It's like, maybe don't drive your car today.
Oh, that's a biking guy, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a cyclist. He just wants to bike.
Okay, well then he can bike.
But no, so I've been using this to, like, when someone gets in a car crash, to just pop in as Roadway Report and be like, "Hello, cars are bad."
Yeah.
Like, think about it this way. So, like, anytime anybody gets clocked anywhere in America, I'm going to know. And I'm going to be able to just slide in their DMs and be like, hello.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you plan on filtering through things like New Tower reaching 54 stories would be Fort Lauderdale's tallest?
I don't know. Just, like, more specific filters. You know,
manually.
Like car crash instead of plane crash, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. This is the first attempt.
Nice.
And it's like 15 keywords and 2,500 subreddits.
There is a gray single-family home on Chandler Street near Worcester State that is occupied by a group of young Worcester State men. The property owner appears to be an absentee landlord. Snow never gets cleared, property is in disarray. These guys throw the absolute most obnoxious parties.
Oh, shit. Okay, here's a good one. Two Savannah Police Department vehicles involved in early morning accident. They were responding to a burglary. Oh, no. The Savannah Police Department wants residents to be aware of a police presence downtown following a collision involving two police vehicles. They were responding. They only hit each other is what this article says. And it was 3:41 in the morning.
Yikes.
That's really funny. This is the world we live in where like the law, the people who are tasked with enforcing traffic laws are incapable of not hitting each other on empty roads. Like, that's the system we designed.
Yep. 100%.
Siri, shut the fuck up. Siri, you don't... God fucking damn it. AI is trying to get me.
When Ben refers to his wife, he's talking about Siri.
No. I'm not married to my Siri. I love my wife.
So what exactly do you plan to do with this once you're able to get the filters working?
Well, no, I mean, it already works. It's like, well, you can tell right away which ones are pertinent.
Sure. Yeah. So I just mean, are you hoping to comment
pop
on
in
these
there?
Posts?
Yeah. Just be like, yo, I'm glad. Sometimes people are like, almost just got hit by a car and I can just be like, hey, that sucks. Check out Roadway Report. I'm glad you didn't end up on a Roadway Report.
Nice. Absolutely. I mean, we might be able to uncover some good.
Think of it this way:
guests.
You've got to seed the fact that the product exists in different circles of influence. So, like, I can put stickers up all over Austin, and I can make sure every fucking cyclist in the city understands what Roadway Report is, understands what we want, and what the world we want to build. But, like, you know, if it can pay dividends to plant that seed in one person in Savannah, Georgia, mm-hmm. or like, you know, just start hitting metros in any way we can. Right. And this is a really good way to connect with like-minded people in those areas.
Of course, we might even be able to find people who are interested in telling their stories on the pod, you know?
I mean, who hasn't been hit by a fucking car? TBH.
My coworker, Alex, was hit by a car on a scooter. Not too long ago, he got pretty injured. He was out of work for several months. We all know someone like this, and you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was following a signaled intersection, you know, following the rules, and he got clocked. I-35 lanes expansion. Does anyone know if there are any plans in the future to expand the I-35 west lanes between Fort Worth and Denton? I don't know how much longer we have to wait. Car brain is real.
Bro, people want lanes. It's like, sometimes I ask myself, how did we build this horrible system? And it's because these fat fucks love it, bro. They just eat that shit up.
Yeah, it's true. In the face of overwhelming...
If lanes were glizzies, they'd be gobbling them. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, see, this is why I built this. Man hit by multiple cars on parkway. None stopped.
Oh. Bleak. Bleak.
New Jersey. Man, I hate cars. Anyway, that's about all I got for transportation content. Seattle was really lovely. Saw the fam. I took a good 20-mile walk.
Were you hanging out at your brother's or?
Yeah, mostly my brother, my uncle, saw my parents.
Heck yeah.
The city's fun. I went to Chinook's, which is this fancy ass fish restaurant on the water in Magnolia.
Nice.
Got some chowder there. Got a little bit of salmon. It was good. It was really
lovely.
Good.
Yeah, I would love to have some good seafood. Out here in Denver, you know, we're pretty far from the ocean, so unless I know the seafood is high quality, I usually avoid it.
Ours at the restaurant is farmed. It's delicious, I gotta admit.
Love it. And your lady got back into town?
Yeah, my wife is back. So last week we were supposed to pod. And Lucas, like, it slipped his mind because we didn't really hard confirm that we were going to meet.
Yeah, and I had extra work. This is totally on me.
So then I, like, it's my wife is back in town after being gone for weeks, going through all sorts of hard stuff, just travel for work and personal stuff. And so she's back. All we want to do is lay around on the couch, right? But Louie, it's time to podcast. Baby, I gotta go. I'm a podcaster. So then I bike home in a fucking thunderstorm. I get drenched completely through. And then Lucas is like, oh, sorry. Gotta go. I was mad all day. I was so fucking butthurt. Just really mad.
No, it's totally fair. I canceled late. We did not hard confirm, but we had, you know, discussed it, and it totally slipped my mind. I had a work thing the night before, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna sleep in a little bit before I go to work the next day, and I blew it for sure. Baby, I got a podcast. The kicker is that, you know, Ben, you know, not only left a comfortable situation, he also had to bike through the rain. You know, thunderstorm in Austin, rain can come down pretty hard.
Anyone who's ever lived in Austin knows that it's like it can be really normal, and then 5 minutes later, it's just like a shit show.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't just a quick jaunt down the road. You know, it's a pretty hefty distance, and it's already unsafe. We know this. If you're still listening to this podcast,
that's true. That's
which
true.
I know you're not. Like, I put Ben in danger in order to screw him over.
As roadway safety experts, it is, yeah. Don't ride at night. Don't ride in the rain. Those two things should be avoided if you can help it. That's true. Yeah. I ride at night every day without a helmet and no lights and drunk. Like, every night I have whiskey and then I ride home with no lights and no helmet. Just for all you fucking haters out there. Our official stance on helmets at Roadway Report is that you look like a pussy. That's our official stance.
No, I mean, you're more likely not to die, so.
No, you're not. You're not.
You are. You're more likely to get hit, but you're less likely to die.
No. It's it's completely negligible. It's.
No, protect your noggin. Head trauma. Avoid head trauma. Like, that's not that hard to wrap your head around.
No. You're not going to get away with this one, Lucas.
All right. I mean, do you have any data to support this? I mean, I've
well,
seen
no,
the data.
I mean, okay. I've read
I've
a lot of
data.
The studies.
Yeah.
And it's like, they take it or leave it. Some show a little benefit. Most show nothing.
Well, I've seen several reports confirming that wearing the helmet does not decrease your likelihood to get in an accident, of course. I mean, that sort of just makes sense. But it's about avoiding death, right?
Kinda. Traumatic brain injury tends to occur, really, if you fall off of a bike and you're going under about 12 miles an hour, there is virtually no chance of a TBI. It's just incidence is very, very low. It's what you would consider a very safe activity. Your incidence of traumatic brain injury from riding a bike under 12 miles an hour is about the same as walking down the fucking street. If you're a professional cyclist and you're gunning it, if you are training on the roads, yes, you should probably wear a helmet. But if you are a normal person, just don't get hit by a car. That's the only thing that matters. It's a joke. It's a joke to pretend that the helmet has any effect on your safety or health outcomes. Is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate that getting hit by a car is really the only thing that can kill you if you're commuting or riding to the bar or, you know, riding through the rain to get bailed on by your podcast co-host. But, I mean...
People wear helmets because they want to feel safe, but the fact of the matter is they're not safe. So you shouldn't give yourself a false sense of security.
Sure, but... I mean, there's still a non-zero amount of accidents that you would be protected by the bike helmet. I mean, if you get clocked by a car going 60 miles an hour, it's obviously not going to do very much for you. But if you get clipped and, you know, you fishtail out and slide out, you know, I'd rather, you know, scrape up my hands and my shoulders and, you know, not have a concussion.
I'm really just never going the requisite speed for TBI. I mean, just to be honest, like, I know when I'm going too fast, right? Like, you go down a big hill and you take it a little quick.
Yeah,
and but that's when your brain needs to be going, this is fucking dangerous. If I fuck this up, I could get really, really hurt, right? And then you slow down. But you wear the helmet and you're just like, send it, bro! And I don't know. I don't know. That's my take.
Let's see. The NIH posted a study... Looks like this is from 1999. That in the abstract, the results, you know, say during a 12-year study period, a total of 1,612 bicycle motor vehicle related fatalities were sustained by children. That's really sad.
Yikes.
Less than 16 years old. The mean adjusted rates of fatalities sustained by children was significantly lower in states with helmet laws than states without helmet laws.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So we're trying to save the kids by putting a helmet on their head.
Wait, did you say the fatality rate was lower in states with helmet laws?
With helmet laws, yeah.
Because helmet laws do reduce the presence of cyclists at all. Hmm. The problem with helmet laws is if you have to wear a helmet to ride a bike, you're less likely to ride a bike. And it's safer for cyclists if there's more cyclists.
Right.
So it's like, if there's none of us, then the helmet law makes us less safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if you, I've never been to, you're good. My wife is like sneaking into the room.
No, it's good.
Something. They're going to hear you. They're going
to
hear you.
Welcome to the podcast.
I mean, if you look, I've never been to Amsterdam or, you know, any really great cycling cities in the world. But, you know, some people are wearing helmets in those environments, which I think supports my point, but it's not a deterrent to death, really. The helmet is not a deterrent to death. I think that much is clear.
Yeah, and I mean, again, if you're an adrenaline junkie and you're bombing hills, yeah, wear a helmet, because if you send it going 25, you better be ready to meet your maker.
What if you're an adrenaline junkie and you're riding backwards up the on-ramp to the freeway?
I mean, I see some guys on YouTube going like 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That Safa Brian guy, he's a legend. You should see some of his bombs.
I mean, people rip through Denver on e-bikes. Especially like when the weather is a little better in the summertime.
E-bikes are great, right? Because they eliminate any range issues with cycling as a transportation mode. Mm-hmm. But it does, the incidence of TBIs are higher, the incidence of fatality is higher, the incidence of serious injury is higher. And it's all because the juice puts you, on average, at a little bit above that traumatic brain injury threshold. So it's like, if 12 miles an hour is about where it starts to get serious, it's like, yeah, you're riding a little bicycle, you're just going about town. Most people are under that, especially, like, mm-hmm. beginners. But you throw an e-bike into the mix, and then anybody, old Joe, can easily torque 15 miles an hour out, 18 miles an hour out, take a lane, you know, go right along.
So your position is, for e-bikes, helmets are more logical.
Much more important. I would never ride an e-bike without a helmet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, it's, and so it's, yeah, it's my, I guess my opinion is a little more nuanced.
Yeah. Well, we are excavating it. I think this is the kind of thing that we can do more of. Thinking about structure. I also just realized you're going to have to use my phone recording for this one because I never turned the driver on.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
Yeah, man, that's kind of all I got on the transit sphere. You want to talk about coming?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming, ways to come.
I
gooning, hate... coming, the gooner-cummer divide, the false gooner-cummer dichotomy.
The coming goon messiah.
You see, edgers edge to come. Gooners goon in perpetuity.
Forever.
A gooner may never come. I'm a never-cummer perma-gooner.
Yikes. This is your, yeah, your identity. I mean, you were talking about, you know, establishing ethos earlier, who we are, you know, why we should be trusted on this subject. I think you're really nailing it.
Permagooner, never comer, no degree, not on house arrest.
I mean, you have a degree.
I have a communications degree, which is why we're here podcasting. I read a Forbes article this morning. It was like how to nail a job interview. And then I opened it up and it basically just said lie through your teeth. And I was like, oh, fuck. Those rich bastards were right.
Yeah. Have you still been hunting for...
No, I just, fuck it. I'm just going to build a media empire.
Hell yeah.
Like, fuck this shit. I don't want to lie, right? And obviously, all these computer systems are broken to just accept the resumes that have been created by a computer specifically for that job.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, if this process is completely broken, I don't care. I'm just going to build stuff and try to meet people because that's how I'm going to end up getting my foot in the door somewhere anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to put myself out there. Group bike rides, tech events, you know, just trying to meet people who like to code up little fun stuff and aren't right wingers. Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I mean, you should also, you know, check out like local labor advocacy organizations, things like that. You'll find some more like-minded people. We've had a big strike going on here. The Kroger-owned grocery store in Colorado is called King Supers, and most of the Denver metro area, King Supers are on strike right now, trying to negotiate a better deal, and Kroger is coming up, you know, empty-handed in terms of paying people a living wage, taking care of their employees, treating them with dignity. And met some really cool people myself, you know, through that. And I mean, I know we have some friends. I mean, our friend John is on the board of a labor union. I believe he's, you know, getting a little bit of compensation for that engagement. I think there's, you know, paths that are not necessarily just getting a job.
Yeah, brada. I mean, I have a job. It just sucks.
Yeah.
I was doing the math. I just don't make a lot of money.
As the old gumbo Gus.
My brother said I need to stop bitching. He said that I should be happy about it. And he hasn't had a real job since he was like 17. He's like 34.
Mm-hmm.
So he can go fuck himself.
But,
yeah, it's like I spend every night for the last year and a half, I get covered in like the filth at the bottom of the floor of the restaurant. And it's like, I can tolerate that. It's better than talking to you people. But but, you know, it's like I do yearn for more. I do yearn for more out of this petty existence.
Yeah, but you've been making more out of this petty existence. You know, you're creating data visualizations and resources that will help. So, you know, keep on keeping on, man. It's tough out here. No matter what you do, I mean, it's hard for anyone without generational wealth or access to institutional channels. It's hard out here to make ends meet. I think it's important that we keep saying that, and keep, you know, standing up for what's right. And you're doing that, and you should feel proud of that. And you should be fed up with working for a wage that doesn't sustain you. In a way that it should. I mean, in the 70s, if you worked at a gumbo spot as much as you do right now, you'd be living like a king in Austin.
Is that true? I mean, okay, yeah. It's in Austin, it's true. Because in Austin, the dream was always to work part-time at a Thundercloud Subs and play the bass in like six bands. And anything short of that is a failure, right? Like, in Austin, the coolest guy is the guy who's the biggest loser. And that was such a beautiful thing for such a long time. And now, even I'm Joe Rogan.
Well, I mean, it's just the cost of housing. Like, that's really that's the primary thing. And the cost of everything else, too. But, you know, in the 70s, you know, you could buy a television for $500. And you could buy a house for, like, $10,000, $30,000. Like, now you can buy a TV for the same price, and you can buy a house. You can't buy a house because it's a factor of that television.
TV you technology know, is very important to us. Same with hamburger technology.
TV technology, hamburger technology, cars.
Cars.
Pornography delivery systems.
We're good at that. OnlyFans is hiring.
they always are.
Well, no, I mean, they have a really small team. OnlyFans is serving like YouTube amounts of content with a team of 40 people. Yeah.
Wow.
They have the highest revenue per employee of basically any company, like public or private. Probably with the exception of some like private equity firms.
I think it's amazing in the discourse, the like current political discourse, that there isn't more clamoring for the Republicans to like shut that company down, right? Like, they pretend to care about values and grooming and you know, building nuclear families, and like, wouldn't that be consistent with that rhetoric?
But no,
they want to keep people from connecting with each other, and they want to keep people, you know, controlled by their screens. And
did you see, so you saw the scooters don't kill people shirt?
Yeah.
I do need a way. So I talk about like commenting on Reddit threads for car crashes all over the country. But another way I want to start to seed, you know, start to red pill the public is like, well, shirt's a pretty good idea. You know, like, scooters don't kill people. That's an impactful and important statement. We need to be producing content and media that shifts the paradigm around the way we discuss traffic violence, car crashes. So it's like any kind of kitschy or punchy like slogans that we can throw on a shirt on the front, like scooters don't kill people, bikes don't kill people. cars kill people. how stop the violence. You know, whatever we want, we put it on the front. And then on the back, it should be like the map and roadway report, like a link. So people are like, oh, I wonder what a roadway report is, right? It's like a little walk. We need to turn the goon army into our little gremlin army, into our minions. We'll be Gru, and they'll be the minions if we can start selling T-shirts. However, my ethical foibles with this is that I don't really want to contribute to, like, you know, I just don't want to contribute to the whole fast fashion consumer bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, like, those T-shirts are made by slaves.
Yeah. So they're not free, I tell you that.
Can we find, I mean, you know, I work with a lot of people who come and go trying to do door-to-door sales. And, you know, one in three of these guys runs a quote-unquote screen printing business where they, you know, order shirts online and sell them with, you know, whatever it is. One of them runs a Christian streetwear brand, you know, things like that. So, you know, everybody's really doing it. So how do you do it ethically? Are there any ways? I mean,
well, I don't
obviously
know.
There's,
it's, here's
we
the
would
thing.
Just
it's
have
like,
to charge high prices.
I would buy the shirts, right? Because, like, I do want a dope-ass shirt that says scooters don't kill people and then a link to my website on the back. I would wear that to work, right? And that would enter my shirt rotation in a way that is not wasteful, if that makes sense, right? Like, I come into T-shirts. They last me 5-10 years. I don't go to the store and buy clothes. I only buy thrift store clothes. And it's like, fuck, man.
As we record this, Ben is actually fully naked.
Yeah, it's true. Always nude. All perma-nude, perma-gooner. Deeply perturbed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with it. I would wear a scooters don't kill people shirt. Absolutely.
But I don't know. So that's like one thing. We can beg people for their money. That just feels a little gauche.
I don't know. Everyone else does it.
I need to add a button to the website that lets you, like, print out a QR code and sign this as, like, someone died here. I need to make it easy for people to, like, create interactions with the world in real public space.
Yeah.
Or interactions with the site in the real world.
Yeah. Expand the site's reach into the physosphere.
Into the public psyche. It's information war. InfoWars. No, we got to start doing some InfoWars. We got to make the frogs gay.
We should make the frogs gay. I mean, the water's already done that pretty well, but...
Okay, so are we a comedy podcast about roadway deaths? Or are we queer? Is this a queer podcast? I thought the straights were into butt stuff too, right? So yeah. I hadn't even clocked that... And I probably should have, but I hadn't even clocked that was going to make this a gay podcast.
I mean, it's been my point since you discovered gooning that it's a gay culture item. It's not something that came out of the Gen Z, like, contemporary porn discourse. It's a gay culture feature. That, you know, has been sort of reinvented in this world of the internet. And you know, I think attempted over the course of the episodes that we've recorded to push the conversation around, you know, masculinity as it relates to roadway deaths. And, you know, I think there's queerness in that. Queerness isn't just, doing, devious sexual activities. You know, queerness is being at odds with the world. And so, you know, again, this is a big part of my identity, in how I get myself through the day, how I sleep at night. So I don't think that we've discussed, you know, much beyond gooning and masculinity in the sphere of that.
I have a gooning story to tell you after this podcast is over.
You can't do that.
I have a craziest story.
Well, isn't that, I mean, shouldn't you tell it on the record? Like, isn't that the point? No? Okay.
It's a strictly off-record gooning story.
Gotcha. Okay, so I think you... It sounds like you know where the line is.
There is no line. There is no line.
You perceive the line. You perceive the line. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we can keep doing what we're doing, honestly.
I like our beat. It's true. It can be casual. We do have enough transportation content, and it's like... I don't know.
I think that we should aim for shorter episodes. I know it creates maybe an editing heft in order to do that, but I think we can cut some of these episodes to pieces.
That's just a muscle. That'll just come with time. That'll just come with time.
And I'm happy to take a crack too. I'm confident that I could do it. I think that we can, and I think we should record before we hop off here. And I do need to go pretty much right at 9:30. But I think that we can record, you know, right now, something that goes at the beginning of the episode, which is today on Roadway Report. And we just highlight everything that we discussed. Or maybe you record that while you're editing, or I do.
Okay, so you want an intro. I mean, an intro is probably good. Intro is good. We obviously, the middle section of our podcast is like transportation news, essentially, or new projects, new research. That's like kind of this, or maybe, okay, intro, like true intro, like do-do-do, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, music.
Intro, us shooting the shit a little bit, making funny off-color jokes about sex and sexuality, and then we give the people doing, sex.
Yeah, deaf comedy, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and then we'll start to do transportation news. You know, our shtick, the meat. We'll give them the meat. We'll give them sex, then we'll give them the meat, and then we'll have a guest. And then we can cut whatever we want, and it'll still come down to an hour, or like, you know, or whatever our target length is.
Yeah. I think targeting 30 minutes or 45 minutes would be good.
I think cold intro could be like 5 minutes. News should be 15 to 20, and then a guest for like 20-30 minutes, and that would be such a nice little podcast.
I think that makes a ton of sense. And I think I mean, you have such ability to just poke out some melodies. I think you can record some music to do the transitions between the sections. I think these little pieces of audio production will help people latch on. Obviously our personalities are gold, but we have to help people. We have to help people connect.
You're like a sponge without any water in it.
Yeah, exactly. Which any gooner knows is worth nothing.
Worth nothing. You're like the dry sponge on top of the kitchen sink. My personality is like a golden retriever who won't leave you alone. And you're like a sea urchin.
I'm a dry sponge on the top of the sink. I know I made you bike through the rain last week, but that's cold, bro.
I love you so much. I could never say something that mean to anybody other than my best friend.
Yeah, I mean, our friendship was really built on you saying mean things to me.
Your compassion and your intelligence and attention to detail are not, they're very appreciated. And what you bring to the table for this, what you bring to this table for this podcast is super important.
Shut the fuck up.
No, because it's just being an insane person is not enough.
I think you just found the title of this episode.
No, I was going to call it Dwayne the Rock Bottom.
Dwayne the Rock Bottom, nice. That's good too. No, I love you so much, and you know, I've always been grateful for, you know, our friendship, even when, you know, one time Ben and his significant other made me a card for, I think it was Valentine's Day. This is relevant as Valentine's Day just happened. You know, I was lonely at the time. I was, you know, in unrequited love, kind of teenagerdom. And they made me a card that, you know, was just a stick figure by himself. And it said, I'm so Lana Lee. And that's stuck
you were
Lana
Lee.
That card made me laugh. It put my situation in perspective. And yeah.
I'm sorry if I haven't always been a very considerate person. I know I definitely leaned the egocentric side.
Well, no. I mean, I think that, you know, we've always had a language together. I know there have been many times, you know, your mother has said, you have to be nicer to him. but I've never felt that way. You've always been one of the most reliable honest friends I've ever had. And I'll always be grateful for what we have, man. And we're just getting started here, putting it on the record.
Yeah, no, it's so good. I think there's something very wholesome about a podcast that just ends with, I love you. Good to talk.
Yeah. Ta-ta for now.
Okay, yeah. Have a good week. I'll cut this. I'll put it up.
Cool.
And then next week, maybe I'm going to see if I can get us a guest by next week.
Okay. Let me know. I can also work on that. But yeah, next week.
Just text me your availability and then I'll try to get somebody.
Cool. And yeah, next week we'll have a guest, listeners. It'll be an exciting new chapter for the pod.
All right. Pod over, pod out.
All right. Love you, man. Talk to you later.
The government is listening.
Ah!